Now, we're going to look at the Gospel, which is in chapter 1 of St. Mark, verses 21 to 28. It's the very first miracle. It's the opening, the very first public act of Jesus, except for the healings that he's been doing before that. But, see, they went into Capernaum. Now, if you look at each Gospel describes the beginning of our Lord's public life in a different way. See, for Matthew, it's the preaching. For Mark, it's the exorcism. For Luke, it's the program of the Messiah that he delivers in Nazareth. And for John, it's the Logos in heaven who becomes flesh. So each Gospel has its own way of showing us something about Jesus, the Word incarnate. Mark's way, from the beginning and throughout his Gospel, is the war between Christ and Satan. And that's why the very first thing he talks about here is this exorcism in the synagogue at Capernaum. And so, you see, we're only in verse 21 of chapter 1. So this is the first public act. He's in the synagogue, okay? Came to Capernaum with his followers, you see? And on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught, huh? He went in, and he was teaching. There's no end, but and was teaching. Now listen to this. This goes back. This is why we understand now the first reading about the power of the Word, okay? And they were astonished at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one having power, and not like their scribes, not like their theologians. He had power. When he spoke, the reality got through to you, because he was in living touch with what he was talking about. Not like the theologians. Not every theologian, but the scribes here, these guys, you see? And so it doesn't say more then, right then about it, you see, except that they were astonished because of his teaching. For he was teaching them os exousion echon, as having power. That's not described yet. But the words of Jesus have power. This is a very important concept. It's what distinguishes the Bible from every other writing ever. The power of its words. Because they are from Jesus, the Word, the Logos. And so, they're there. And they were astonished because he was teaching them as having power and not having exousia, meaning authority. What are they translated to? Having authority, right? Having authority. What does authority means? You're able to get something done. If you're in the house and the dog, then you know you're in somebody's house, and the dog comes in and starts barking and jumping, and you say shh. Nothing happens. The owner says, quiet, bing, authority. And so, you see, and now we're going to find out where that authority comes from, okay? Then, and straight away, Mark loves this word, eftis. I forgot you could look it up in a concordance. I mean, he uses it 65, I'll bet, or more times in his gospel. Okay, eftis. He's a storyteller. And suddenly, you see, and quickly, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, saying, what to us and to you, Jesus of Nazareth? Huh? They translate, that's literal. What have you to do with us? Well, he's got plenty to do with them. Now, Mark has already told us about the temptation in the desert. But he doesn't give us any details. He just says he was in the desert being tempted by Satan, and the wild beasts were with him. That's all he says. The temptation narratives are in Matthew and Luke, okay? But what our Lord went out there to do was to challenge Satan, overcome him, and bind the strong man. And that's why our Lord, in his teaching, will say, you know, a strong man keeps his house in order. He can defend it until a stronger one comes, overcomes him, binds him, and plunders his house. He says, I'm the stronger one. I've come now to set the world free from the domination of Satan. We should never forget that, no matter how dark things start to look. Fear not, I've overcome the world, meaning I've overcome Satan. And so, you see, he's in the synagogue, and this man with an unclean spirit cries out, what to us and to you, literally, Jesus the Nazarene, have you come, or you have come, you know, just the punctuation, Erethes apolesihimas, did you come to destroy us, or have you come to destroy us, or you have come, anyway, you get the idea, you've come to destroy us. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. This is the way they go, you see. I know your name, I have power over you. You are the Agios του Θεού, but I know your name. So you better watch what you do, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus says to him, you see, and he rebuked him and said, quiet, and go out of him. That's all. And shaking him up, how do they translate that? Convulsed him, that's good. With a loud cry, came out of him. And now it goes back to the power of the word, you see. And so they were, you know, and said, what is this? This is a new teaching. Didaki keni, kat exousion. This is a new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits and they obey him. Now that's the power of the word. You see? Spoken by Jesus. This sets the scene for Mark's gospel. Mark's gospel is the story of a huge cosmic struggle between Christ and the devil. One already authoritatively set in place by Jesus in the desert, where he binds the strong man, definitively breaks the back on Satan's power on the cross. You see? And that's why, yes, he's around, and he's around a lot now, but you see, it's this huge battle. And for Mark, there are more exorcism terminology and all that in Mark than in the others. He sees this battle, and he's not dumb. Remember, Mark is written in Rome. He sees big government. He sees what they're doing. And he sees this struggle of the church against Satan. And so he talks about it, you see. Now, they had said, you see, what is this, you see? This is new teaching with authority. That's the power of the word. That's what we heard in the first text, right? The prophetic word has power. Well, the prophetic word from the Logos himself has unstoppable power. That's what we have now. Now, this is important, and I wanted to spend a little more time on this. We have just about enough time. If you want to look about more of the fallen angels, you can look in the Catechism, starting with number 391. 391 in the Catechism. They are fallen angels who hate God and try to get at God through us, because they can't touch God. But they can destroy his image in us and drag us to hell. And that's what they want to do. And they run stuff if they're allowed in. Okay. Now, I want to show you some of these texts where you see the power of the Word. In Scripture, for instance. I think I've quoted some of these before for you. Aquinas speaks of the difference between Scripture and all other writings. This is a quote now. And thus in man, God instructs the intellect both immediately, without any filter, immediately, through the sacred letters, and immediately through other writings. Only Scripture does the Lord teach you immediately. Okay? Think, for instance, you remember that famous incident in the life of St. Augustine? He was hearing about these, like Anthony of the Desert, and, you know, and he was being tugged away from a life, you know, of slavery to sexual pleasure, and being a big shot, you know, being a rhetorician, you know, giving speeches and stuff. And he wanted to get out of it, but he couldn't. And then he hears this boy say, "Tole lege, tole lege." Well, he had the text of Romans there, and he thought maybe that's what he's supposed to do. So he picks up Romans 13, and he reads 13 to 14, "Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and licentiousness, not in rivalry and jealousy." All the works of darkness, right? Chaos, rivalry and jealousy, sensuality, anger. "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh." He tells us, "I had no wish to read further, nor was there need. No sooner had I reached the end of that of the verse than the light of certainty flooded my heart and all dark shadows of doubt fled away." From that moment on, he's a Christian. The power of the Word. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Or take another example. Well, St. Anthony of the Desert, he was thinking about Anthony, who was an Egyptian peasant. In church, God heard, "Go, sell all you have, give it to the poor, and come follow me." So he did it. He heard that addressed directly to him. And in the power of that, he went out, you know, gave everything away to the poor except enough for someone to take care of his younger sister, and he went off to the desert. The same text did the same thing to Francis of Assisi. Power. The Word of God reverberating in your being and changing you, delighting you, even when what you're doing is tough. Or take this example from Therese. She's trying to find out her vocation. And so she said, the 12th and 13th chapters of the first epistle of the Corinthians caught my attention. I'm skipping because we, you know. "Set your desires on the greater gifts." And then the apostle insists that the greater gifts are nothing at all without love, and that this same love is the best path leading directly to God. "At length I had found peace of mind. I had found my place in the church." And that was her place. And that's who she is and how she changed the church. Okay? I'll give you one more example, since I see I'm running out of time. This is Aquinas commenting on the text in Ephesians about the Word of God and its power. So he's gone through all the protective armor. The third place are weapons for attacking. For not only must one defend oneself, but it is also necessary to attack the enemy. Just as in bodily warfare this is accomplished by a sword, so also is this accomplished by the Word of God, which is spiritually the sword of the Spirit, which is the text in Ephesians, okay? As it says, and he quotes Hebrews, I'm going to let you read 4:12 yourself because we run out of time. "Thus," this is the part I want, "thus preaching is called the sword of the Spirit because it cannot reach the human spirit unless it be wielded by the Holy Spirit. It will not be you, but the Spirit of your Father who is speaking in you. When your Spirit of your Father is speaking in you and you are delivering the Word of God, it will have its effect. Thus," he concludes, We have weapons for fighting the demons themselves, namely the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now listen to what he says. And I'm telling you, if the preachers, especially the priests and bishops, lived their celibacy to the hilt, you see, this happens frequently in sermons, in which the Word of God, penetrating the hearts of sinners, drives out the tangled mass of sins and demons. It's exactly what happened in that synagogue in Capernaum. And it can happen. I can tell you it happens. I know that it happens. Amen.